This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Strange Harbor, online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor, be strange. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. And today, Bill is off, so Star Mom is back on the show. Welcome back, Star Mom.
Thank you very much.
And our guest today, Aluma Rani, Ronnie Dumont, you join us again. And today, we're going to talk about predictive programming.
Absolutely.
Now, what is predictive programming and who's doing it and why?
Well, I got to tell you, this is one of those things to where, as I've explained prior on Strange Harbor, my documentary, Find Muck the Movie, mm-hmm. was basically something I put together to convey the idea that 9/11 was a little something more than just an inside job, that it was actually a ritual of Freemasonic Kabbalah. That's a term that most people don't even really know, but Freemasonic Kabbalah, basically what it is that Freemasonry is derived from Kabbalah, and the two are kind of interchangeable. The most prominent business people in the world are practice Freemasonry, or basically it's a form of Kabbalah. So in Kabbalah, there's this thing called the Tree of Life, and a lot of people might know a little bit of that from yoga. There's seven chakras, and the Tree of Life is actually interwoven. Those seven levels are actually within the Tree of Life. And within the Tree of Life, there are 10 sephirots, which are these spheres within the Tree of Life, and they represent degrees of ascension or awareness, however you want to call it. But ironically enough, there's 10 sephirots in the Kabbalah Tree of Life, and there's 10 degrees in the York Freemasonic Society.
The first time I ever heard of Kabbalah was like when Madonna had made a big deal about her religion. Like, it's a religion then, right?
It is a religion. Matter of fact, it's like one of the oldest religions. If you were to look it up on Wikipedia, they claim it goes back to the time of Eden.
Wow.
Right. It all depends on how you think about the Bible. I mean, me personally, I think there's a lot of truth to the Bible, and I think a lot of it is metaphorically. So it's a very old religion, and what it really boils down to is the idea of Hermeticism, as above, so below, or, you know, and we've talked about this before. We've talked about caduceus. Caduceus is the snakes. Whenever you go to the hospital, you see the two snakes, and they're winding up a staff mm-hmm. that branches out into a winged sun disk. Let's say, and everybody is familiar with that image, and very few people, I know that I never thought about it prior to studying it. You know, you go to the hospital and you see a couple snakes on a staff with wings, you know, and it's just like, yeah, whatever. Well, imagine that you're in a hovercraft or you're in a drone and you could fly straight up above Caduceus and look straight down at it. And do you know what you would see? You would see yin and yang. That's what yin and yang is. It's a depiction of Caduceus. The white and the black represents the duality of opposites, or Hermeticism, and the two dots represent the eyes of the snakes. So basically, it's two snakes whirling around each other to create ascension, and it creates ascension to the eastern star Sirius.
Where do the elite fall into this, and how this plays into the elite orchestrating a false flag kind of operation?
We have kind of touched base on that with prior interviews. With my documentary, Find Muck the Movie, I'm basically conveying that not only was 9/11 an inside job or a false flag operation, but it was also a ritual of Freemasonic Kabbalah. I'm stretching it a little bit because that's where I can prove to anybody that 9/11 was an inside job. Matter of fact, it wasn't too long ago. His name is Larry Silverstein, and he was the owner of the World Trade Center complex. he was doing an interview in Israel in front of a captivated crowd, and it was an interview for an hour. Not an interview, but he was giving a lecture. And within this lecture, he actually admits to the first meeting to build World Trade Number 7. And World Trade Number 7 is what a lot of people think is the smoking gun, is a third building that went down that day at free fall speed. It fell in its own footprint, and it was a 47-story building. And this building collapsed upon itself at free fall speed at 5:20 on 9/11. So it was later on in the afternoon.
Right.
Here's the thing. Larry Silverstein admitted to having the first meeting in April of 2000. This guy actually knew that the building was going to come down. And World Trade Number 7 was built in the 80s, I believe. I don't have my notes in front of me, but I'm just off of the top of my head. I'm pretty sure it was a fairly young skyscraper. There was no reason in the world to get ready to build another one unless they knew it was going to come down. So he freely admits to having the blueprints or working on the blueprints for World Trade Number 7 in April of 2000. And the arrogance behind this is just mind-blowing. If a lot of the folks out there in Strange Harbor Land know that in prior interviews he's actually hinted that it was controlled demolition. Later on, he said that the reason why they decided to pull it was he was talking about the firefighters, and the firefighters were long out of the building, so everybody knows that was not a true statement. We're talking about the duality of opposites, right?
Right.
And we're talking about caduceus. We're talking about yin and yang. When you look at something like the Star David, it's two triangles. And when you combine the two triangles, one triangle is up and one triangle is down. And then when they come together, it creates the Star of David. There's other things, north and south, which is what the Twin Towers were. And that goes back to the reference of Boaz and Jachin of Solomon's Temple. I feel like I'm getting a little convoluted in the message I'm conveying, but what I am basically saying is that it's hermeticism, or the duality of opposites. What happened is that the Twin Towers fell, and then in the middle of the Twin Towers, there was this statue called the Spherical Caryatid. A sphere is what everybody knows is a round globe, but a caryatid is a pillar in a female form taking the place of a pillar or a missing pillar. At any rate, basically, it's the statue is, if you were to translate it, a round pillar. And it was spaced evenly between the Twin Towers. Now, I want us to go back to Caduceus, where you have the two snakes winding up a staff in the middle, right? Basically a column in the middle and escalating to a winged sun disk. And they like to say that it's to the eastern star Sirius. This can get really convoluted because you start thinking about why coffins are faced to the east, the eastern star Sirius. The spherical caryatid was completely due east in the middle of the north and south tower. So I try to convey in Fine Muck the movie that the ritual was, when the Twin Towers came down, the spherical caryatid gave birth to the new Trade Center building, which is the Freedom Tower or One World Trade Center. When the Twin Towers came down, the spherical caryatid gave birth to 1776-foot anti-prism obelisk, and it's the same exact shape as the Transamerica building, and it has references to the equation pi, which is really important in the Freemasonic society. The whole entire thing gets so kooky crazy. You know, we're talking about predictive programming, and I convey that 9/11 was a ritual, but there was a lot of weird things going on in the media before 9/11 that was giving hints that this particular thing was going to happen. Have you ever heard of the card game, the Illuminati card game?
Yes.
For all the Strange Harbor folks out there, you'll want to do your own research. First and foremost, and it's what I say in Fine Muck the Movie, I don't want to convince anybody of anything. I just want to arouse suspicion and have somebody do their own research. For God's sakes, if you ever see me on the street, prove me wrong about something so I can learn better than I was the day before. I have no ego with this stuff. People think I'm a conspiracy theorist and I'm wearing a tin foil hat and all that stuff. And I was like, that's fine. Just tell me how I'm wrong and I'll be more than happy to bow down and say, hey, you got me on that one, and then I can continue being a little smarter than I was the day before. The one thing I really don't like is marginalization of things that people say. It's like, how easy is it to call somebody a wingnut, you know, or you wear a tinfoil hat? I was like, no, don't say that to people. You know, being dismissive, you know, you're crazy. Well, don't just be dismissive. Tell me why I'm wrong or how I'm wrong, and I'm fine with that. So we're talking about the Illuminati card game. If all you folks out there hear this, write that down and look it up yourself. There's images on the Illuminati card game of the Twin Towers being hit. There's an image in the Illuminati card game of the Pentagon being hit. And there's graphics on the cards, and the images compared to the actual photographs of the Twin Towers being hit is absolutely spooky. It is so creepy. I've shown this to people and they, you know, they gasp. That card was developed in 1995, a whole 6 years before the event. So that's a very good example of predictive programming. Predictive programming conveys something in the media of an event that's about to happen. And I think it's a psychological thing to where people can swallow it more. Or maybe it's even like a gang member putting MS-13 on a wall to show their dominance or to, you know, to tag a wall or something like that. We talk about the Freemasonic Society. The number 33 is a big number. So you'll see that in movies everywhere, the number 33, and there's a lot of numbers, you know, number 13. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Here's the thing. We talk about the Illuminati card game, and people talk about the Illuminati, and Jay-Z is in the Illuminati, you know? It gets coordinated with wearing a tinfoil hat and conspiracy theories and all that stuff. I'm here to say that there is no Illuminati. If you go to the history of what the Illuminati is, it's a secret society that was initiated in 1776, which is one of the reasons why people think the One World Trade Center is 1,776 feet tall. There's a lot of, you know, weird stuff like that. What it is that there's this guy named Adam Weishaupt. And he was a professor at the University of Ingolstadt. They call it the German or the Bavarian Illuminati. And so this guy, he was crossing the Freemasonic Society and the structure of Freemasonry, and it was about the time of the Age of Enlightenment. And the Age of Enlightenment was kind of going against the grain of the religious sects at the time in government. The Age of Reason, the Age of Enlightenment, to basically the Age of Enlightenment was use reason in order to sustain a point of view about something. Don't just take religion or government at face value and go at it from that perspective, but actually, you know, rely on yourself with reason, which is why I always say, don't believe anything I say. Do your own research, right? It conflicted with the religion and the monarchy at the time. And then in 1784, the Illuminati was broken up by the government led by Carl Theodor. For most accounts, it left no enduring traces of influence. Basically, they broke up, the government of Germany broke up the Illuminati, and there you have it. So what I'm saying right now, I want your listeners to really, truly understand, I am not talking about Hebrew as a race or a language, and I'm not talking about Judaism as a people or a religion. Zionism is what I'm talking about. Zionism is not Hebrew, it's Jewish people, but Zionism is a political movement that came out of the financial district of London by a guy named Theodor Herzl. And the first meeting was in Switzerland in 1897, and it was generally opposed by a majority of the Jewish leaders at the time, and there was a lot of skepticism. And then after a bit of finagling, Zionism began to take hold. The intent was to establish a Jewish homeland. It didn't get a lot of traction, but in 1917, the Balfour Declaration and its intent was presented to Lord Rothschild. And he was a leader of the British Jewish community, and it was by Foreign Secretary Arthur Balfour. The thing about it is that Zionism was incubated out of the financial district in London, and it was initiated by Theodore Herzl, and then it began to take traction with the Balfour. War had been declared on the Ottoman Empire 3 years prior, and the establishment of the Jewish state in Palestine was incubated. Now, I don't want to go too far off track with Zionism, but I want to convey what Zionism is, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm being anti-Semitic, I'm not being racist. Zionism is a political movement, and that political movement is what people are calling the Illuminati today, because Zionism is steeped in the Freemasonic society, and that's why I call it Freemasonic Kabbalah, because these people practice Kabbalah and they practice Freemasonry, which is one and the same. Like I said, there's 10 sephirots to the Tree of Life, and there's 10 degrees to the York Rite. There's 32 paths that connect those sephirots in the Kabbalah Tree of Life, and there's 32 degrees in the Scottish Rite. And if you think about what temperatures are, and we talk about how these entities convey themselves in our everyday lives, that's the reason why 33 is the first degree of warmth, you know, in temperature, in Fahrenheit. 32 is the first degree of cold. 33 is the first degree of warmth, and that's all comes from the Freemasonic Society. And then I was saying, they put their hallmark in movies and stuff. You know, it's like, for instance, Walt Disney was a Freemason, and the only place you can drink alcohol at Disneyland is Club 33, and you have to be a member in order to go up there and have a cocktail. But that's like, it's one of those secret squirrel kind of a things to where the number 33 just pops up in the Freemasonic Society. I'm from Seattle, and you guys are familiar with Seattle, yeah? The Smith Tower in Seattle, one of the things about the Smith Tower is that it has a 13-story obelisk, and there's 20 floors below that, so basically it's a 33-story building. If you go to Wikipedia and you look at the number of stories, it says like it says something ridiculous, but I've actually stood on the street and counted the stories. Well, there's 12 floors in the obelisk, and the 13th floor is the pyramid on top. Lo and behold, that's what's on the dollar bill. 13 layers of bricks to the all-seeing eye. So it's all Freemasonic stuff. They're putting stuff in media, which is so completely creepy, it's unbelievable the kind of stuff that they're doing. So the Illuminati card game is another idea of predictive programming.
How is it another idea of predictive programming?
Showing images, or they're conveying images of an event that's about to happen. When it comes to the predictive programming thing, it can be easily dismissed until you look into it, and I highly suggest anybody out there to just put in predictive programming in Google and have fun. Look at it. Now, it's like any one of these particular incidences would never convey anything substantial or concrete. But when you start looking at all this stuff, it gets creepier and creepier as you go along. I mean, like, really creepy. When I was talking about Larry Silverstein having the blueprints to World Trade Number 7 in April of 2000, that's coming right out of his mouth. That's a fact. There's no denying it. And not only that, it defies Newton's laws of gravity or Newton's three laws of physics. So when it comes to that stuff, I mean, that's scientific fact in my mind. Or just Larry Silverstein admitting he had the blueprints to World Trade Number 7 in April of 2000. By the way, from the time that 9/11 happened, they broke ground and started building World Trade Number 7 in, I believe, in May of 2002. So they cleaned up the site. If the official story was correct, after 9/11, they cleared the site, got rid of any incriminating evidence, right? They cleared the site, they did a feasibility study, they drew up the blueprints, and broke ground less than a year later. And it's like, that would be remarkable if the official story were true. You end up breaking ground on a skyscraper. I mean, to have them draw up plans and blueprints for a gigantic skyscraper within a few months, it doesn't wash.
Yeah, it would have taken years.
A feasibility study takes a year,
Right.
You mentioned the ritual aspects of 9/11. Can you go into that a little bit more? What was the purpose?
If we're talking specifically about the World Trade Center buildings, they were a hindrance. They weren't really making the kind of money. They were full of asbestos. There was a lot of problems with the World Trade Center buildings. There's a long story behind why they didn't want the buildings. And like I said, I personally think that they represented the twin towers of Boaz and Jachin of Solomon's Temple. And they came down to give birth to the One World Trade Tower, which is an anti-prism obelisk.
Didn't it lead into our war with Iraq and weapons of mass destruction?
The contracts in Iraq, you had Dick Cheney, who was the CEO or president of Halliburton. And then Halliburton ended up getting all those contracts out there in Iraq.
No other company was considered. It was a name-your-own-price kind of deal. Nobody asked any questions, and they got to do anything.
It was really like that. Dick Cheney was the CEO of Halliburton from 1995 to 2000. And then after being the vice president, Halliburton got a $7 billion contract in Iraq. That's a little conflict of interest, if you ask me.
Right.
But, you know, after 9/11, that goofball George Bush, W., got on the TV and started talking about weapons of mass destruction and how they were going to go over there and tune their wagon. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking to myself, they better find some weapons of mass destruction. And, of course, they didn't. To me, it was a big hoax. And they got that gigantic contract. Like I said, it was a $7 billion contract. And that's all Dick Cheney. We're starting to get off the idea of the predictive programming, but I want to tell you how powerful these people are. Just recently, there is an area in Syria called the Golan Heights, I believe, and it's occupied by Israel. Just recently, they changed the name to Golan Heights to Trump Heights. A company called Genie Energy just got the rights, the drilling rights, and establish their mineral rights over there in Golan Heights, which is now Trump Heights. They were very happy with Trump to allow that encroachment. You wouldn't believe who is on the board of directors of Genie Energy. So there's Dick Cheney, who is the vice president, Jacob Rothschild. We all know who the Rothschilds are. Mm-hmm. He's the youngest son of James Jacob Rothschild, who was a patron of the first settlements in Palestine. You got Rupert Murdoch, who is a media giant. It's a long list of what he controls as far as the media is concerned. James Woolsey, who is an ex-CIA director. And you got a plethora of other goons over there in Genie Energy. These people, who I consider Zionists, are the ones behind Genie Energy, and they're getting those contracts over there in Israeli-occupied Syria. There's always a conflict of interest. You know, these people go to war, and then they prop up falsehoods. A good example is Libya. You know, a lot of people think that Gaddafi was a good guy, and he was a really good guy to his people. And all of a sudden, he became a terrorist when he told the rest of the world that he wanted to trade his oil with the gold dinar rather than the petrodollar. And so all of a sudden, he got it in the shorts, and
yeah,
they took him out.
Once he wanted to do that, he's all of a sudden an enemy.
Yeah, he's a terrorist. He's a horrible person. And same thing with Saddam Hussein. There's no doubt in my mind he was a jerk. But he had nothing to do with 9/11.
Right.
So they propped it up, and all of a sudden he had weapons of mass destruction. Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice and George Bush's, W's whole clan, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, all these guys, all of a sudden, Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. They had weapons of mass destruction, all right, because Halliburton got a pretty big oil contract over there. Once again, all the people out in Radioland, I certainly don't want anybody to take my word for it. I want you to do your own research and find out yourself.
We're talking with Aluma Rani. More coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to StrangeHarbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and Star Mom's in the studio, and we are talking with Aluma Ronnie, Ronnie Dumont, up north, and predictive programming. Now, can you give us other examples of predictive programming, and then it's these elite, these who we call the Illuminati that's doing this, right?
Right, and as we've said before, you know, Illuminati is not really the proper word, but it's the Zionist entity that own the media. Once again, do your own research. What I'm talking about is these people in highest echelons of power run the media companies. And we were just talking about Rupert Murdoch. This guy owns so much of the media, he's on the board of directors with Genie Energy. So it's a conflict of interest. You know, they can put out anything they want in the media. If you question it, then you're getting your information, especially if it's from alternative news, you're getting your news from fake news, which is funny. Trump is always going on about fake news, you know. Rupert Murdoch, I believe, owns Fox. And mm-hmm. then you got CNN, which is anti-Trump. They're all under the same umbrella. And I would like your listeners to maybe jot this down. The Council of Foreign Relations, which is basically the filter that pretty much all media companies go through. People have to do their own research and connect the dots. What's really important to convey here is that in 1996, Bill Clinton signed the Telecommunications Act, and it allowed the cross-ownership of media companies. Mm-hmm. And that's how AOL became a part of Warner Brothers. AT&T bought Warner Brothers in 2016. That's why Disney and ABC are joined at the hip, Comcast and NBC. And then you got the Rupert Murdoch guy who's got the News Corp. He's got Fox. And Sony owns pretty much all of the movie companies that are out there. What used to be a broad spectrum of journalism back in the day is now basically everything is getting funneled through six major media companies. And almost all of our information gets filtered from the Council of Foreign Relations to these six media companies.
You know, Andrew Breitbart had always hollered about the media and fake news and having an agenda.
Well, we all know that the media, to call it bias at this point, there has to be a stronger word. It's duplicity.
Journalism's dead.
Look, I think this is the perfect exposure of the Democrat media complex. It's not bias. It just happens to be a group of people who have a common interest. Fine.
One of your critiques of the mainstream media is that there's a liberal bias, and therefore you largely can't believe what they're telling you because they have an agenda.
There's no reason not to be honest to say where you're coming from. The motivation to get into journalism often comes from journalists who will tell you, I wanted to affect social change, I wanted to help economic justice, social justice. Fine, then just admit it. I'm just admitting I come from a more free market libertarian orientation, and take the facts that I'm giving you and understand that I'm coming from that point of view. I just wish people would be more honest about where they're coming from.
Now, he's dead, and he died at, 45 years old of natural causes. I don't know what 45-year-old dies of natural causes, but I thought that was kind of fishy right there.
When it comes to that stuff, there's a whole lot of fishiness going on, you know? It's just like you can't cross these people. I strongly believe that, so here's some conspiracy theory stuff. Anthony Bourdain, the world-famous chef who was a globetrotter and he was a fun-loving guy, all of a sudden he started speaking out against the Clintons. He goes and hangs himself, you know? That was weird. And talk about that, and here's some weird predictive programming. Okay, so let's talk about the predictive programming. This is some crazy stuff. A good example is Robin Williams. They have to go to YouTube and look this stuff up themselves. So there was an episode of Family Guy, and it was all about Robin Williams. After it aired, that's when it came out that Robin Williams had committed suicide. Mm. There's some other stuff on the Family Guy. You know, it's just I can't really convey it now. There's just tons of documentaries on this stuff. Just go to YouTube and put in predictive programming and look at that stuff yourself. There's another one where the Boston bombing, mm-hmm. there was a bunch of weird stuff on Family Guy about the Boston bombing.
Before it happened.
Before it happened, exactly. There's a bunch of weird stuff on The Simpsons. The Simpsons had some crazy stuff. Homer was paid to kill Prince, and that was in 2008, and so they had this weird thing about Prince dying. That's a little iffy. In 1997, the Simpsons predicted the Ebola breakout with Curious George. That was kind of weird. Trump was predicted to be the president 19 years prior on the Simpsons. It's interesting, and it gets a little spooky. It gets a little weird. They did one where Disney buys Fox in 1998, and then that ended up coming to light, I think, in 2016. The big one is that there was an image. Bart was holding up a newspaper article or a magazine cover, and it said 9/11 on it, and that was in 1997. So there's weird stuff from The Simpsons, from Family Guy. And once again, I like to do the fact stuff, so I'm flat out saying this is conspiracy theory stuff. You have to look into it yourself and feel comfortable with what it is that you're looking at or if it has any significance to you at all. It can be easily dismissed. There is something that is absolutely super creepy. Like when I show people the Illuminati card game, pictures depicting the towers getting blown up or the Pentagon getting blown up. I believe in March of 2001, there was an episode on TV called The Lone Gunman. And it was like a spinoff of The X-Files. And I don't know if you've ever heard about this one. The whole storyline is parallel to 9/11. So these two guys are talking, and the one guy says, "You're saying our government plans on committing a terrorist attack against a domestic airline?" And the reply from the other guy is, "There you go. The Cold War is over, John. But with no clear enemy to stockpile against the arms market, we need to bring down a fully loaded 727 into the middle of New York City. You'll find a dozen of tin-pot dictators all over the world just clowning to take responsibility." Then it continues, and I quote, "We're going to crash the plane into the World Trade Center." And I want anybody to look that up on YouTube. And it's called The Lone Gunman, and it came out in March of 2001. And they say, of course, it was just a coincidence. It's just too creepy. So it's just like one of those instances to where you need to do your own research and look into that stuff. Predictive programming, now it's all over the internet. And if you look at the examples of it, it just completely blows your mind, knocks you back on your heels. I look into this stuff just because it's just curious. I just get curious about it. Some of the stuff that comes up, it's just like it's hard to believe that any of it can be coincidence. It's just interesting. You can't prove any of it without a shadow of a doubt. Unlike the World Trade Center buildings coming down, to me, I'm 100% convinced it was controlled demolition. You can't have one-fifth of the building above the impact zone crash into the other rest of the building at near free fall speed as if the structural steel wasn't below it. I mean, that's just Newton's laws of physics. But when it comes to the predictive programming stuff, then you just have to navigate it on your own accord, look that stuff up. To me, it's just fun. Conspiracy theories are fun. I like looking into that stuff. I would rather look into conspiracy theories and navigate my own entertainment rather than sit in front of the TV and watch what the heck the Kardashians are doing.
Out of curiosity, I googled Illuminati this morning and went to their website. And there's some really astounding claims that they make. One of them is, "The Illuminati has helped with every major movement on this planet since the first human government was established."
Do you believe secret societies exist?
Yes. Okay, the other thing is, on this website, they have it divided into these segments. One is called the Pyramid. "Money is not the root of all evil. Money is the root to all freedom. The selfish pursuit of money is a hollow goal, but the pursuit of goodness that money can create is one of humanity's greatest responsibilities."
I think about the Federal Reserve.
I always thought that I could register IlluminatiLives.com and put up anything I want. Doesn't mean it's actually the Illuminati's website and that's the Illuminati representing it.
You know what? You nailed it. This is what I've learned personally. For one thing, I was kind of a knucklehead before I started looking into 9/11. Basically, I just wanted to listen to Kiss and ride my Harley around and drink IPA, you know? I wasn't like a great scholar. I went to school to a certain degree, I mean, college and stuff. For the most part, I was just a fun-loving guy, and I never gave any thought to any of this stuff. This took me down so many rabbit holes. The Freemasonic Society, they're just kooky about Egyptian stuff. obelisks and things of that nature, you know, in the pyramids. Now, we talk about the pyramids, the whole pyramid structure, and especially when it comes to power, is that the compartmentalization of who's at the top, and then it trickles down from there. The big players at the top who tell the next level down what to do, who tell the next level down what to do, until you get to the serfs. You're absolutely right when it comes to looking up this information, and this is what I'm saying about it, is that you have to cross-reference, 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 and cross-reference some more. There's misinformation out there. You can't trust any of it. I would say to my mother about stuff, and she would say, well, you got that off the internet. But you can get the evening news off the internet. Almost everything in the library is on the internet. Everything is on the internet. Yeah, maybe I did get it off the internet, but I also went to the library and got a stack of books. And any of those authors of the books that I read, you can't really trust that either. You can't trust any one particular origin of information. You have to cross-reference it because a lot of information is for maybe one's own particular gain. It's like politicians that write books. If Dick Cheney wrote a book, I have a feeling I wouldn't believe a lot of what he was conveying. You know, it's, the guy is a dirtbag. He's a horrible person. He's a warmonger. It's all for the big dollar. You know, and I do believe that these people hide behind philanthropy. They hide behind that stuff. I mean, so your listeners can look up this interview. There's a guy named G. Edward Griffin who interviewed a guy named Norman Dodd. And Norman Dodd, as part of the Reese Committee, they ended up investigating the tax-exempt foundations of, like, the Carnegies and the Rockefellers. The interview is from 1982, and it says that it exposes the agenda for the New World Order. This interview is a little lengthy, and my God, is it dry. I mean, it's not the easiest thing to sit through, but the guy is like in his 80s, and he's telling you how these people have encroached the educational system. So a lot of these power players, they hide behind these tax-exempt foundations, or what they call think tanks. Now, there's a few of these think tanks around that are actually headed up by the Rockefellers. You got the Council of Foreign Relations, you got the Trilateral, you got the United Nations is another one, you know, that was kind of headed up by those guys. You got the Club of Rome, and for any of you out there that are curious about the global warming, I'm not saying that global warming is a hoax. I'm saying that they might be using it as a tool to achieve a grander goal. So for anybody that is interested in whether global warming or climate change is what you can think about it, whatever you want to think about it. But I would strongly urge you not to take it at face value from what you hear on the media. So I would say investigate the Club of Rome and go at it from there. There's also another guy named, I believe, John Coleman. Listen to this. John Coleman was the first, I think he was the very first weather guy on Good Morning America. And he was the founder of the Weather Channel. He passed away not too long ago. But if you want to look at the other side of global warming, rather than what the media is consistently telling you, and you might be curious on what the other side is saying, saying that it's a hoax or whatever, and I'm not saying that it is. It's up to you to do your own research. But this guy that founded the Weather Channel actually was out there in the media saying that it's not the truth, what they're conveying, it's false science. So you can look that guy up as far as global warming is concerned. I would say look up the Club of Rome. So it's a think tank that's headed up by some of these people that are of the elite. You know, they call them the global elite. And I don't want to sound like that. And I do think he's kind of a nutty guy as Alex Jones. Alex Jones did some great stuff. And I think that he ended up, you know, I think somebody tapped him on the shoulder and said, well, you know, you're going to change your narrative a little bit. And they ousted him from all these web pages and YouTube and things of that nature. And, you know, the thing about it is, the moment that somebody says, this person is a conspiracy theorist, he's wearing a tinfoil hat, don't listen to this guy, that is the moment I go and listen to that guy. I was like, what are they afraid of? You know? So we're coming down to the First Amendment. They're trying to stifle people from talking. And I was like, yeah, you don't have to agree with what somebody says, but when they try to stifle you and when they try to stop you from speaking out about something, that's when you need to be afraid. I mean, that's scary stuff for me. When I speak about these things, it's not necessarily you need to believe me. Once again, you just need to do your own research and cross-reference. It's like Star Mom was saying, she looked up the internet, looked on the internet, the Illuminati.com or whatever. I was like, you got to look up about 25 of those web pages to get a good foothold on what it's about.
What interested me was that on this website they were soliciting members. That everybody can join the Illuminati. That they stated their goals. They stated the eternal oath, which is particularly aimed at the advancement of the human species. The way they presented it is all glorious and wonderful, and let's all work together through knowledge and science and discovery and money.
Okay, so at the beginning I was saying that the Illuminati ceased to exist many, many, many years ago. And I think that people confuse the Illuminati with what I'm talking about is Zionism and the Freemasonic Kabbalah. More importantly is Freemasonic Kabbalah. For everybody out there, look up Kabbalah, look up the Freemasonic Society, look up Hermeticism, look up Aleister Crowley for that matter. Look this stuff up and then determine for yourself. But I will say something. I don't know if it was W.C. Fields or Groucho Marx. Any club that would have me as a member, I wouldn't want to join.
Well, we've run out of time, Illumirani.
Yeah, you know what? And it's one of those things to where, with the predictive programming, I'm flat out saying that it's a conspiracy theory. A major problem with people dismissing things because there's the word theory behind the word conspiracy. There is conspiracy fact, but we have this Pavlovian idea that whenever you say conspiracy, you have to say theory behind it. And I don't subscribe to that. I mean, when you think about conspiracy theories, have fun with JFK. You know, and
right.
The official story.
And UFOs.
Know? Yeah, and UFOs. I mean, matter of fact, I was just looking up the lights in Arizona, right? Mm-hmm. You might know what I'm talking about, the Arizona lights. Weird stuff.
Yes.
But
those?
With JFK, here's the deal, is that, and you never know, maybe somebody has fudged the photography or the footage that was filmed. It's hard to deny that that guy got shot from the front. You know, I mean, you can look at it in slow motion. Who was the shooter? What's his name?
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah, Lee Harvey Oswald. In order for him to get three shots off with a bolt-action rifle, I guess, they've done lots of testing. They've tested that out a few times, you know, and it was unlikely. But if you look at the footage, you can just see that he got shot from the front. So when it comes to conspiracy theories, you just got to do your own research. And what I'm saying about predictive programming is that it's a conspiracy theory. And the reason why I'm interested in it is because it's just so fascinating. There's a lot of people that have put together a lot of documentaries or a lot of clips on YouTube. You can look up websites about predictive programming. If you just put in the word predictive programming into a search engine, you'll come up with a lot of stuff. And then go through it. Look at it. It's better than watching TV. For crying out loud, stop watching the Kardashians, you know? And at the very least, you know, I mean, everybody says you're not supposed to go have a beer and talk about religion and politics. Me, myself, when I sit down and have a beer at a bar or something, that's the first thing I start talking about.
Right.
I was like, let's talk about religion and politics. Oh, you don't like Trump? You know, if somebody comes along and says they hate Trump, I'll tell them why I love Trump.
Right.
When somebody comes along and says that they love Trump, I'll tell them how much of a jerk he is. It never, ever disappoints me to have an interesting conversation with somebody when it's something other than, you know, sometimes I have a hard time. There's no way in the world I can talk about what people have been watching on TV unless I investigated it from some predictive programming. I can say that the Lone Gunman that came out on March 4th, 2001, I strongly urge anybody out there in, you know, radio land to look that stuff up in YouTube land, because that came out in TV land a few months before 9/11, and it's creepy. It's creepy as heck. I mean, it's just like, the narrative is just like, well, that's exactly what happened. A little convoluted in what I was saying, but, you know, the bottom line is, do your own research, look into that stuff, and conspiracy theories can be fun, and conspiracy facts can be horribly scary, but it's just nice to be aware, and that's all I can say. Just do your own research.
Thanks again for spending time with us today.
Johnny Manson, you rock. Star Mom, to have you on the radio today.
My pleasure.
I think it's my pleasure.
So, Illumirani spending some time with us here on Strange Harbor, and Star Mom. Star Mom, I just found a headline. Maybe you saw this. Is there a pipe on Mars? This latest odd image sent back by NASA's Curiosity rover shows what appears to be a large sewer pipe partially sticking out from the surface of the planet. Of course, the conspiracy theorists say it proves that there was once life on Mars, while others say it's just odd rock formations. NASA has yet to weigh in.
Here's another trick of light and shadow for the people.
Okay.
If you sat down at your computer and looked up Mars anomalies, you could sit there for days, count one right after the other, of not just strange-looking rocks, but squares set down in a grid. And probably one of the most fascinating anomalies of all are the glass tubes of Mars, which NASA says are sand dunes.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur C. Clarke took a gander at them and said these made him believe the most impossible thing of all, that there was life on Mars. It's not just a case of one or two strange-looking rocks. It's a case of anomaly after anomaly after anomaly. Pyramidal structures with 19.5 angles. NASA says the wind did it. The wind knows geometry on Mars. Pharaoh carved on a cliffside on Mars. Sit down with your own eyes and look it up.
Mm-hmm.
You can sit there all day long and say, that's a boat, that's a brick, was a building, that was a statue.
Mm.
Why won't they say the truth?
I don't know why.
Will we be too frightened? Is anybody frightened? You know, when the Pentagon came out with that video of an Air Force pilot encountering a UFO, did anybody panic anywhere in the world? Most people didn't even bother to look at it. So the idea that they're keeping things secret from us is for our own protection is just a bunch of baloney. I think there's another whole agenda going on, and maybe they'll tell us at some point, and maybe they won't. But there's a lot going on Mars that you need to see for yourself.
Thanks for staying with us here, sitting in on Strange Harbor for Bill.
That's a privilege.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you would like to listen to back episodes, if you would like to share your experiences, your thoughts, your opinions, your theories, if you'd like to support our work, we do this show for free, you know. Log on to strangeharbor.net. You'll see our Patreon link, or use the contact form to yell at Bill for his new age hooey.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.